You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
And now, it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you very much for making us a part of your Friday. We're going to talk to Mitch Harper coming up here momentarily. We'll get the latest on what's going on with Mark Pope as BYU now is looking for a new basketball coach. But Ben, we are live today from Peach Doors and Windows, one of our very favorite places.
Yeah, stop on by and say hi, hang out with us. We'd love to see you stop in. We've got some jazz gear, we've got candy. What do we have? We got all kinds of stuff to give away. So if you're in the area, you want to swing by, say hello, get some inside information on all the goings on with the world of sports, which is plentiful here in the state of Utah. We got you covered.
2940 South, 300 West. 2940 South, 300 West. And it's back off 300 West just a little bit, but you'll see the peach sign out front. It's really easy to find, and we'd love to see you. So 2940 South, 300 West, and we'll talk about it throughout the day, but if you have the need for windows and doors, Peach is where to go, and you can always call them. Get a free in-home estimate. Just consult with them, 801-566-1255, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. And again, that address, 2940 South, 300 West. All right, we'll talk to Mitch about Coach Pope and the open coaching vacancy at BYU coming up here momentarily. But Ben, you and I were both at the Jazz game last night. First time in almost a month that I got to do a post game after a win.
Hey, that was a great game. I mean, the basketball when it delivers is still an absolutely great product, and I know that the pieces there aren't necessarily what, you know, season ticket holders probably bought tickets for last off season, but that was a fun game to watch. Kenneth Lofton was great. Keontae George had his best game in a long time, still kind of throwing the ball all over the gym in the fourth quarter, but I thought played really well. Bright spots from Bryce Sensabaugh. But you know what they did? They played hard. Like, it's going to sound really cliche. They respected the game, and the game respected them in return, and they got a home win and finished their home season schedule with a record above 500.
No, this year was the play hard and pass year for the Utah Jazz. If you want to explain the games they won and the games they lost, it really comes down to that. The games they played hard and passed, they won.
Yep.
And when they didn't do that, they lost.
Respect the game, it'll respect you, when the Jazz did last night.
All right, let's talk a little BYU. He covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com. He joins us on Fridays, and we always look forward to it. He is our buddy Mitch Harper. What's going on, Mitch?
Busy times, guys. It's always exciting to tackle a coaching search.
Did you get any sleep last night, Mitch?
Not much. working the phones to, kind of get intel on this search. And, you know, it's always fascinating with BYU because – unlike a place like Kentucky where you're tossing out Dan Hurley's, it's Dan Hurley D-Day, yet it ends up being Mark Pope. There's a clear understanding of who the real targets are at BYU. And it's a matter of what does Tom Homo, who his top candidates are and who he feels is the best fit. And to his credit, this will be his third head coaching search. He was in Florida yesterday with BYU's cheer squad, and now that's got to be altering the schedule a little bit, but he's done a nice job with hiring basketball coaches in the past with Dave Rose and Mark Pope. Now he tackles his third opportunity.
Take us through yesterday before we really dig into to the candidates for now that open job, Mitch. Obviously, Kentucky went through a couple of options before they got to Pope, which shouldn't be a surprise. But how quickly did it come together yesterday, as far as you could tell?
Yeah, it was moving at light speed. I mean, it was about 9 a.m. Mountain Time, Scott Drew, or 9:30 Mountain Time when Scott Drew issued his public statement. And then I started getting word that, you know, Mark Pope had scheduled meetings with different divisions of BYU's, you know, campus and, you know, areas of the school for planning sessions for the upcoming year. And then those abruptly got canceled and he was on the move and no one was getting in touch with him and could contact him. And, well, he was in Lexington finalizing to become the Kentucky head coach. So things move fast. And, you know, once Calipari got that Arkansas job, there was always that chance with Mark Pope to land Kentucky, even though their fan base never realized it. But, you know, Mark Pope has got a personality that we all know that can really impress. And he was aggressive in pursuing this job. And, you know, Mark Pope has, since he's been at BYU, he's been always kind of inserted himself into coaching searches and been aggressive with his agent to, you know, be part of the Arizona search a couple years ago when they replaced Sean Miller, and, you know, USC this year, and a little bit to a lesser degree with Louisville this coaching cycle. But when Kentucky opened, I mean, that was his dream, and he goes out and chases it, and it's pretty surreal in BYU history to see a BYU head coach not only leave BYU, because that's very rare, but to leave for one of the crown jewels in jobs in college basketball in that respective sport. So it's kind of unprecedented in that regard. And but it also speaks, I think, to how much NIL alignment with current universities. You know, if you've got a good spot like Nate Oates, where you've got your NIL, you've got your strong relationship with your AD and your school president, why leave? Why go to Kentucky? You know, 10 years ago, you say, yeah, I'm leaving Alabama to go to Kentucky. But that doesn't happen in this climate now with the NIL era. And, you know, for Mark Pope, where NIL was a frustrating point at times for BYU and him, how it's moved slower than most, he's on the move, and rightfully so, going to Kentucky.
Yeah, I heard there was already $4 million donation up front for the NIL for this year's roster. So Mark Pope, with his $27 million coming to him over the next five seasons, is in a good spot. Well, speaking of Mark Pope, Mitch, let me ask you, who on BYU's current roster would you consider a Mark Pope guy? Who would you consider a BYU guy? And maybe who's a little bit of both, meaning who do we think could follow him to Kentucky?
I think BYU, or for Mark Pope guys, would be an Ali Khalifa, a Noah Waterman, you know, maybe a Fusini Traore. You know, BYU guy, I think you would fall under the category of Dallin Hall, potentially. You know, but I think in this era, it comes down to you know, NIL, but there is still that element at BYU where guys want to play at BYU. Richie Saunders, I'd say, feels like a BYU guy, but at the same time, you know, Kentucky could be waiting for him. And if Mark Pope wants to bring him along to Kentucky, that's pretty enticing. And you got to imagine that NIL opportunities would be pretty big there. So, but I think that, you know, BYU being in the Big 12 helps the cause to potentially maintain players. And I think that's what's critical for BYU going forward is, you know, typically in the past, when you think about like Kalani Sitake or even the Mark Pope search, these things would drag out 10, 12 days. And you just can't do that. I know BYU works slower, but the portal is open until May 1st. Players need to have assurances of who their coach is going to be moving forward. They need clarity. BYU's got to move faster than they've ever moved, and they got to get this done in a timely manner because you know who the targets are. You got to go act now and go make a move and make it prompt. And so you can get some clarity for this roster to piece it together and then go attack the portal and add, you know, pieces. Once you do, probably lose some players in this transition.
Mitch Harper is with us, covers Cougs for KSLSports.com. All right, Mitch, take us through the short list. It took Mark Madsen about 30 seconds to pass on the job. So where are they going from there?
You got to zero in on Chris Burgess, Utah basketball assistant coach. And, you know, what's an intriguing piece to Burgess is that he has BYU coaching experience. And you know, that matters a lot. You look at the history of BYU basketball and even to an extent BYU football, the coaches that have previous assistant coach history before becoming a head coach at BYU, they tend to succeed, you know, at a higher level. The ones that don't have previous BYU assistant coaching experience, they tend to have a steeper learning curve to navigate the uniqueness, the kind of, you know, kind of circumstances that come with being at BYU. Chris Burgess understands what BYU is, and he's got some, you know, relationships already with existing players that are in the program, like a Trevin Nell, a Tiki Ali Atiki. You know, he was heavily involved in the recruitment of Colin Chandler, the highest rated recruit that BYU has signed in the internet era. So pieces like that, I think, add to the candidacy of Chris Burgess. And he's also recruited guys at Wasatch Academy, and he's got strong connections in the international recruiting scene, and he's been very aggressive in the transfer portal. In many ways, he's kind of like Mark Pope, where, yes, he wasn't a BYU guy as a player, but he played at the highest levels of the sport with Duke, as Mike Krzyzewski played at Utah, had a decorated international career, played a little bit in the NBA, but he's a big man too, and he can coach the big man. And there's a lot of similarities, and he learned under Mark Pope first time at UVU and BYU. Like it's a big jump from being, you know, a Utah assistant coach to being a head coach in the Big 12, where you're going to battle with Scott Drew, with Bill Self, with Tommy Lloyd. I mean, that is a massive jump for Chris Burgess. But if BYU will continue on the path of hiring only LDS coaches, and in some extent, you know, Temple recommend LDS coach, your options are limited. And, you know, Chris Burgess fits that, and he's got that upside. He's got that potential, and he's got the BYU experience. So he would be, to me, at this point, candidate number one. And then you go to Barrett Perry, UNLV assistant coach, and he was someone who was heavily involved in the coaching search before when they ended up with Mark Pope. Remember, Mark Pope was in the mix for the UNLV job, the Nevada job back then. And you know, UNLV was making a push to get Mark Pope, and there was kind of uncertainty with BYU going to get Pope. And Barrett Perry was in the mix as maybe the number two guy before BYU ultimately landed Mark Pope. And Perry's been, you know, a guy that's coached in college basketball, very various levels for about 20 or 30 years, excuse me, junior college, Division I. And he knows this scene too. You know, he's been a native of Payson, Utah, strong roots in Utah County, but also has good connections in recruiting. So those are the top two guys. And, you know, I got a whole big board up on KSLSports.com breaking down the candidates. But to me, those are the top two that BYU should pursue.
Mitch, does the next head coach of BYU have to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
They do not. And, you know, BYU has expressed that. But, you know, there was a couple of years ago, Tom Holmo at an education week in 2021 talked about this topic and said that one of the reasons they tend to go with LDS coaches, they understand, you know, BYU's culture of you're going to have athletes that go serve missions for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You know, they come back and tend to want to maybe get married too. So understanding that dating culture, but it's not required. But still, you know, Tom Holmo in his track record, when it comes to the big three jobs, men's basketball, women's basketball, and football, he hires LDS coaches. And I would expect more of the same going forward. It would be a pretty big shift from BYU's view. And if they did, I think there's one candidate that fits that billing, and that's Cody Feger. But, you know, if you're Cody Feger, you're probably very in close talks with Mark Pope to maybe be, you know, get an assurance to maybe be on that Kentucky staff. And maybe you can make a pretty nice salary, a very nice salary at Kentucky as well. So if they did go that route, I think Cody Feger would make so much sense because he has institutional knowledge of BYU from his time with Dave Rose and Mark Pope. But, you know, that he's not a member of the church. And whereas Chris Burgess, Barrett Peary, Casey Beard, Houston assistant coach, those guys are LDS coaches, and that's typically the path BYU goes.
Mitch, I know this is an impossible question to answer because there's so much that is going to happen, but regardless of who gets the job, how is this going to adjust expectations for next year?
Oh, it should adjust significantly, you know, because you have to – you're likely hiring a coach. You're hiring a coach that has no power conference experience. I think that's what makes this coaching search so fascinating, is that it's the first, big head coaching hire with BYU as a power conference team. And you would like to think that BYU adjusts in a manner where the time frame gets sped up, because that's always been the wonder, or the thought about BYU is like, yes, you're at the big time now, but are you willing to do everything it takes to be big time? Because the Big 12 is, 9 out of the last 11 years, the best conference in college basketball in the regular season and the metrics. And are you willing to act like those programs do, or will you continue to do the BYU way? And the BYU way has been very successful for BYU for many years, but this level of competition is the likes of which they've never experienced before. I mean, last year is being deemed a success. You still went 10-8, and you had some really dud losses against, Oklahoma State and Kansas State, where you didn't look good, and then you ultimately ended up the season losing to Duquesne. So there's going to be a little bit of setbacks, and, the league gets better next year with the addition of Arizona. I mean, this league, I put it my way too early power rankings, which already need to be adjusted. But the depth of this conference is way better. You just stack up the teams and you go, man, this is going to be a gauntlet again. And so, yes, I think that it's got to be readjusted, because you're going to lose some players on this roster because Mark Pope's gone, and rightfully so, as they should. I mean, some of these guys, they don't, sign with BYU. Some, of course, did, as we talked earlier, but some are going to want to go chase that opportunity at Kentucky. So, yes, it's got to be readjusted, and maybe a reset of the clock of what expectations are for BYU in the Big 12 and in year two.
What do you expect of Mark Pope at Kentucky? I mean, I have some Kentucky fan friends that were heartbroken last night, but you give him the tools to recruit, unlike what he's been able to do at BYU, and I think it gets pretty interesting.
He's going to be one of the best coaches in college basketball. And, when I viewed him, I covered every step of the Mark Pope era at BYU. And to me, he always operated at BYU as a guy that's one of the top 10 coaches in college basketball. Now, there was always a ceiling at BYU, but his demeanor, his way of operating, when he talks about relentless, he really is that. I mean, he was the perfect coach for BYU. Now, he rubbed shoulders. He kind of, turned some people off down at BYU because of that relentless nature. I mean, he where he's publicly going out saying, BYU moves slow on NIL. That's not going to always sit well with people around BYU, but you can't deny that what he did at BYU this past season, when no one was expecting anything of them, was quite the coaching job. And he'll always adjust, and he'll recruit to whatever he needs to do. And now you give him endless resources at Kentucky. He's going to do a dang good job there. And it was puzzling to me that Kentucky didn't just make him a top priority out of the beginning, because he really is a great fit for that spot, because Calipari, he didn't care about the brand of Kentucky. He was more worried about NBA draft night. Whereas Pope will win those people over from that standpoint of, he'll tap into the nostalgia, he'll tap into the understanding, the richness, the history of Kentucky, whereas he didn't really have that at BYU. He even acknowledged that the history of BYU was not known to him. He dove in and made sure he knew everything he needed to, but he lived it at Kentucky, and it's going to be a kind of a deeper, I think alums in this day and age work at schools, and I think he's going to do a dang good job, and it'll be fascinating to see how he fares there. But I think he'll do very well, and I think he'll emerge as one of the best coaches in the sport.
Mitch, I'm curious. Now, I think Tom Homo has done such a good job as the AD at BYU that he should keep that job forever if he wants. He should weekend at Bernie's that thing if he so desires. But do you know how much longer he wants to do this? Is there a chance this is his last big hire as AD at BYU?
I think there's a really good chance that could be the case. And, Tom operates on a year-by-year contract, and that's unique in college landscape, where ADs, they want to have that assurance they're under contract for long term. Tom, he's got that year-by-year deal. I think, to your point, that he kind of calls his shots, and I'm sure he'd like to you know, have influence on maybe who that next individual is, you know, to be the next AD. But yeah, that's very possible that this could be maybe a legacy hire from the basketball side. And, you know, Tom's, you know, bread and butter has always been football, and he'll, you know, he'll turn to people that he trusts with this basketball search. You know, Brian Santiago is very involved with the men's basketball and women's basketball programs. And, you know, Danny Ainge is always around BYU, and I'm sure he'll tap into him as a potential resource and thoughts on the hire. So, but yeah, Tom Holmoe, this could be, you know, the last one for him. And, you know, he made it clear to me a couple months ago that, you know, the football side, there's no hot seat for Kalani. And so now with this, you know, men's basketball could maybe be the last.
Mitch, thank you. Appreciate it. Happy Friday. And
get some sleep.
Yeah, you get try
sometime.
And get some rest. Hopefully BYU hire somebody soon for your sake.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch is going to be on with Jeremiah Jensen later today.
Mitch Harper. Well, keep it glued to Mitch's socials and, of course, KSLSports.com for the latest, because Mitch is digging, I'm sure.
He also had a really good podcast last night about fallout for this and addressed all the players and coaching names and what it means for Mark Pope and what it means for BYU. You can find that at KSL Sports if you missed it and are looking for a more in-depth conversation on it. Mitch did a great job last night.
Listen, I don't like Kentucky basketball. Mm-hmm. I really never have. But I'm really hoping for Mark Pope's success for one simple reason. The fan base is so annoying about this hire. The fact that they're like rioting over hiring Mark Pope. I hope that he kills it just to rub those annoying fans' faces right in it. Because, like, dude, these coaches are passing on your job for a reason.
Every coach.
Mark Pope had a ton of success at BYU, which is a really hard job, going into the Big 12, which was a really tall task. He did a great job, and I know he didn't win the NCAA tournament game, and he has not, but he's an alum, and he's a really good coach, and he wanted that gig. You know probably why Scott Drew didn't want that gig? Because you fans are so annoying, and if you turn on their coaches for simply having great success but not enough, I mean, Scott Drew has a job for life at Baylor.
Sure. It sounded like Scott Drew wanted the job and his family did not want to move to Lexington.
Well, that was the rumor because of the plane thing.
That
right?
He had taken the job and accepted the job and brought his family up to confirm, and they said, Baylor's pretty cool. And they said, all right, we're going to go back to Baylor. If that's where you're going to be happy, that's where I'm going to be happy. It's crazy that nobody else would take that job.
I've never been to Lexington, but it must really suck if somebody's picking Waco.
Yeah.
Waco? Yeah.
We got to dive into this more. I want to talk about Mark Pope. I was flabbergasted when this story hit last night. I mean,
You didn't think it was going to happen. I thought there was a really good chance.
No,
it could happen.
Thought we had passed this up. I thought when BYU lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament that ship had sailed. And then when he wasn't one of the first two or three names we heard and they were going down this list, I just assumed somebody was going to take it before him. And they wanted other people to take it before him. But then they got to this point. And I'm so curious how this is going to work out. This is my new Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia. I cannot wait to see how this pans out.
I bet he does well. Although I don't think you have to be a blue blood to win in college basketball anymore. So I don't know if the built-in advantage is there.
I'll be curious. You know, one of the things that excites – well, we got to get into this more. One of the things that excites Kentucky fans is the rating of their recruiting class nationally. And Mark Pope is not going to bring in the number two recruiting class every year the way John Calipari did, or number one every year. He's just not going to recruit that level.
I actually think he could if he wanted to. I think he should. Well, we can get into it.
Yeah.
We are live at Peach, 2940 South, 300 West, Peach Doors and Windows. Come by and see us. We've got candy for you. We've got a KSL Sports t-shirt. We've got a jazz ornament. And, of course, when it comes to windows and doors, Ben, Peach is simply the best. We talk about it all the time, how different that they are, and different in such a good way. The final product is going to be different because it's going to be exactly what you want and not what the big box stores want you to have. But the whole process is different, Ben, from start to finish. They don't hand you off to subs. They're with you the entire way and want to make sure you have a good experience. It's truly what sets them apart.
Yeah, change your home without changing homes, right? Like, you can get that new home you've always dreamed of with your own home already by customizing with Peach Doors and Windows. Come on in. We've got beautiful doors in front of us. They can show you all the windows is back. They can take you throughout the showroom. It's really gorgeous. Come on in. Test them out. Stop by and say hi to us.
PeachBuildingProducts.com is the website. You can also call them 801-566-1255. And if you do want to come visit us today, 2940 South, 300 West, right here in Salt Lake City. We'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob N, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you to nominate the sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests. And listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, Mark Pope, hired as Kentucky's head coach.
Sell me on Mark Pope. Give me a 30-second spiel that the athletic director at Kentucky is selling to fans.
He plays a very modern style of basketball that I think will be I think will succeed at Kentucky.
Can I tell you, I think that is the number one thing? Other than I know he has the connections, and look, if Mark Pope hadn't played at Kentucky, he never gets this job. He's not even in consideration for this job. But he does have that history. He was a former captain. He did play in the NBA. All those things are pluses. All those things I think help. His style of basketball is really conducive to NBA players. He shoots a ton of threes, which is where the NBA is going. It's what kids want to do coming into college. It's what high school players are already doing. And then he already runs some pro sets. We talked a lot about how good that dribble handoff stuff was that nobody in the Big 12 ever figured out how to defend at all. Nobody could do it. Hans Olsen had a bunch of clips of Baylor just like leaving a wide open path for BYU's guards to go and get layups off of Ali Khalifa handoff. So I actually think that is the biggest thing, and that could be what ends up winning over fans in Kentucky is – what it looks like to have an actual basketball coach and not a recruiter at Kentucky.
Right.
And the nice thing is, if you have, there was a rumor of two donors combining to put up $4 million in NIL money this morning for Kentucky, and they were probably thrilled to do that because it meant they didn't have to pay an $18 million buyout for Coach Calipari. If he can use that money to get players, which is why, as you mentioned earlier, Nate Oates isn't leaving, Drew isn't leaving Baylor, you don't have to go to Kentucky to land recruits anymore. You can pay for recruits. If Mark Pope can get high-level, not even elite John Calipari-type recruiting classes, and then coach well, he can have a ton of success at Kentucky and could win over that program really quickly.
I think Kentucky could still get any – they'll have the dough and the clout to get any recruit they want. I will be curious – I mean, as far as recruiting rankings, which are silly and dumb anyway – he could stay at the top if he wanted to. I would be curious if he wants to. I think the teams that are the most successful, going to be the most successful in college basketball, are going to figure out the blend between development and transfers. And I say development because I think just sheer talent isn't going to win in college basketball anymore. If Cal has proven that, it's you can't get these young 18-year-olds that don't know how to play basketball that have a ton of potential raw talent and just win anymore because 22-year-olds are going to be better than 18-year-olds no matter how talented they are. There are going to be bigger, stronger, faster, more developed 22-year-olds that are going to be able to play like a team and beat the 18-year-old every time. So I will be curious to where Mark lands on the blending of Kentucky's advantages with new college basketball where one-and-dones aren't going to be
the fad.
I don't think that's going to be the thing anymore.
Here's what I worry about for Mark Pope, though, on the flip side. He's really late now getting into this recruiting class this year. A lot of the recruits are probably not going to stick with Kentucky, even if they have some money. They may go with Coach Cal. They may go to other proven schools if they transfer away from Kentucky. He's already losing arguably the best backcourt in college basketball in Rob Dillingham and Reed Sheppard. They're going to go to the NBA and be top 10 picks, I think. There's some hope that Sheppard would stick around. I don't see any chance that that happens. If he has a bad team next year, which is just the dregs and leftovers of what Coach Calipari didn't take to Arkansas and what he can bring from BYU, with all due respect to the players transferring from BYU, and doesn't win and doesn't turn that into recruiting momentum and belief within the fan base. If he has 2 years where he only has the same type of success that Coach Calipari had, but doesn't even have the recruiting classes that provide hope for Kentucky fans, he could be out of a job really quickly. And that would be my fear, that they only give him 2 seasons, maybe 3 seasons. And if he...
Oh, he won't get 3. Only, if you lose for 2, he...
If he loses 2, doesn't win a conference tournament game, and then isn't delivering top 10 recruiting classes, or let's even make it more elite, top 5 recruiting classes, with the bad start that they're off to now with the fan base not buying into him, it could be a short stay.
Yeah, I would say he doesn't even have... I mean, if he loses year 1, he'll be out. Well, it's the problem with that job. And the fan base does have a lot to say about it. The reason Coach Cal isn't there anymore is because the fan base turned on him, in my opinion.
I told you, I was covering the Jazz game last night. It was up at the arena, and I was sitting next to a guy who I know is like the hardest core Kentucky fan I know. He pulled up a Twitter Spaces. If you don't know what that is, it's basically like a chat room of audio, and it's like a radio show on Twitter you can do. Within 15 minutes of Mark Pope getting hired, there were 20,000 people on this call. 20,000. That is rabid. I mean, I've never seen that type of fan base.
Ben, we're back.
Where'd you go?
Had some technical difficulties.
Where did you go?
We're live at Peach, 2940 South, 300 West. Come on by and see us. Let's continue on with the top 3 stories. We'll get to Brian Taylor, who will join us coming up probably in about 5 minutes. But let's get to story number 2. We talked about Mark Pope for number 1. Sarah, what's number 2?
Number 2, the Jazz beat the Rockets.
Send off the home schedule with the victory. They finished the home record 21-20, a point of pride. Keontae George talked about it after the game, as did Will Hardy. They were happy to get that win, and I think Jazz fans were probably happy to see that 13-game losing streak broken.
Yeah, when they play hard and pass, they're a much better team. That's been true all year long. I really hate to just boil everything down to one simple statement, but Will Hardy said it, and he was totally right. And you could go back and pretty much look at every win and loss, and that boils down to the reason why.
They have really not won games with a one-man wrecking crew. You know, that has really just not been their pathway to victories. You're right. And ironically, and the guy I think a lot of people were talking about last night, you know who played the hardest and passed the best? Kenneth Lofton Jr. That dude was everywhere. He was playing great. He really does have great sense of moving the basketball. He plays his butt off in the paint. He really hustles out there. He's just an interesting kid. There's a reason why the Jazz gave him this second chance and why Memphis had taken a chance on him. He will be somebody to worth watching over the summer. We'll see if he can stick next year.
Well, it's amazing when someone runs down the floor and the other team doesn't just throw it down there and dunk on every possession.
Yeah.
And that wasn't true for the entire game even, but that was true for most of the game. I mean, there was another possession where Talen Horton-Tucker had a chase down block to save an easy hoop because the rest of the team was just standing there. You know what play I'm talking about?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it was Cam Whitmore and he ended up dunking on Cam Whitmore as well. Maybe it was Jeff Green. But, yeah, regardless, he ran back in transition.
Hot Dog had to run the whole floor and block what was an easy layup for the Rockets because the rest of the team was just standing there. It's the darndest thing. But when the guys play hard, they played much better. Give me your thoughts on Keontae George. You mentioned earlier that you thought this was his best game in a while. 20 points, 7 of 14 shooting, 5 assists, 4 boards.
He is such a difficult shot maker. And the Jazz have really asked him to shoot a lot of threes that I think he kind of gets away from his game. And it's weird to be like, yeah, go take a bunch of running mid-range jumpers through contact. But, he's good at that. And it kind of gets him into his groove. And the Jazz have weeded some of that out of his game. And they made him really three-point heavy. And he's not a great three-point shooter right now. He's going to finish below 33% on the season, most likely. So he was hitting a lot of those mid-range shots, and he's done it all year. He has a funky rhythm against his ball handler because he's not like Colin Sexton quick. He's not as herky-jerky as Jordan Clarkson, how those two players get separation. But he's kind of an off-rhythm player, and he draws a lot of fouls that way. And I actually think that's when he's been at his best this season. And when he hasn't done that, maybe it's because he's not strong enough or he's tired or the Jazz are asking him not to, I think he kind of gets out of that rhythm. And then he's not as dynamic of an offensive player. So I kind of just thought the game came to him last night, which I liked. He wasn't stepping out there. One of my red flags with Keontae is if his first shot's a three every night, I think it's going to be a tough night for him.
I've been pretty consistent that I'm not all that worried about his shooting, even though it has been bad. There's rookies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, no, his shot will be fine.
I can't decide if this is a major problem or a minor problem. He has a turnover problem.
It's a
big one. But his turnovers are brutal. They're just like egregious mistakes. Like in the fourth quarter, when it's coming down the stretch last night, he just threw it out of bounds.
Yep.
He like, just sailed it out of bounds.
He overthrew Omer Yurtsman by 3 feet on one possession.
But
it's
is that
bizarre.
Actually an easy problem to fix because it's so egregious? Does that make any sense? Because it's
of course.
Just don't throw it out of bounds. That seems like an easy problem to fix. I'm trying to decide how much his carelessness with the ball is a problem. Like, would it be more concerning if his turnovers were like Andrei Kirilenko ball handling?
Bojan Bogdanovic would dribble into the paint and it'd get swiped every time.
Yeah, right. I don't know. You can't really fix that. Like, Andrei Kirilenko couldn't dribble. You can't really fix that.
And their game was their game required them to do some of those things, but it was a problem when they did them, but they kind of had to do them to stay dynamic. Speaking of Bojan and Andrei Kirilenko.
So that's like a problem. I feel like I could teach a talented guard to not throw it out of bounds.
Keontae doesn't have to throw the ball out of bounds in transition. He does it all the time.
All the time.
It's crazy.
That should be an easy problem to fix, right?
I'm with you. But you know what should be an easy problem to fix is like Talen Horton-Tucker stop spinning into the paint and fading away on mid-range jump shots and airballing them.
Well,
he still does it.
That's different though, because he's insubordinate.
Maybe.
No, he is. Why do you think he's been spending the entire season sitting on the bench? Who do you think I almost called him Quinn Snyder. Will Hardy was yelling at where he said if you're not going to play like this and play like you give a crap about the team, then you're not going to play. And then all of a sudden Talen isn't playing and you think, well, that's who he was talking about. And then every time Talen gets in the game, he shoots 9 times and then doesn't play for another 3 games.
Like, to that point,
that's insubordination.
That's an easy fix, though, right? Just don't do it.
Well, no, because
Keontae's is like, just don't throw that pass. It's the old Quinn Snyder. You talked to Quinn about it at practice, and he said, see where that guy is on the other team? Don't throw him the ball. Like, that's how
you stop
turnovers.
Don't throw that pass. There's a guy there. It was the most brilliant analysis from a coach I've ever heard, and I mean that wholeheartedly.
And that is kind of part of what is going on with Keontae. It's like, just you see how
don't
tall.
Throw that pass.
You see how tall Omer is. Don't throw it 3 feet over his head.
Just don't do it.
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
So I'm with you. I don't think it's that big of a deal. He may always be a high turnover guy, though. Not 5 a game, but he might be always in the mid threes, which is a high number in the NBA.
But the problem is in the fourth quarter, you just can't throw it out of bounds. So I even buy into, like, I don't even care if you turn the ball over a lot. It's like what type of turnovers and when. And actually throwing it out of bounds isn't terrible because you don't give a fast break up to the other team. But you can't do that in the fourth quarter of a tie game.
Nope, you can't.
All right, three, real quick.
Number three, the Coyotes head coach addresses relocation reports.
These continue to roll out, and it's going to happen. I mean, this is talking to somebody last night at the basketball game who knows the situation well, says everything you have heard is true. It's just about landing the plane now, and that's where we are. And the fact that the coaches are talking about it, we'll see what the GM says about it. He goes on the radio a lot downstairs, down in Arizona, excuse me. I will be curious how quickly this gets done. It could be as quickly as the next week.
I think the plane's already been landed, honestly. My speculation, I mean, I've talked to a couple people like you have too, but I think the horse is already in the barn. And they just have to jettison the current owner. And that involves lawyers.
And it sounds like this weird situation where the NHL is going to buy it from him, and then Ryan Smith is going to buy it from the NHL. Like, almost they broker the deal because it doesn't sound like Ryan Smith and Morello, this guy in Arizona who owns the team currently,
do it directly.
There's no conversation there. They're not talking. This is all through Gary Bettman and the NHL.
Well, that's what the NBA did with the Hornets. I mean, that's not uncommon, I would say. Well, this doesn't happen a lot, so maybe it is uncommon, but I don't think that will get in the way. Maybe that's a better way to put it. All right, it's time to switch gears and talk a little golf. We have a Masters update for you. It's brought to you by Mountain Land Supply, Zions Bank, Black Desert Resort, Hoops Vision, and Siegfried and Jensen. Joining us now live from Augusta. You hear him every Saturday morning on Real Golf Radio. He's our buddy BT. What's happening, Brian?
What's up, boys? And like I said, on the Twitter there, nice to go to Peach for the Masters. That seems very appropriate. Well done.
Very appropriate. Absolutely. And we love Peach, of course, and we love the Masters. And Brian, let's get the latest. What's going on now? Homa's making a run?
Yeah, Homan's playing well. He's at 7-under par. He's tied for the lead currently with Bryson DeChambeau, who is even par through his first two holes. You know, it was birdie out of the gate, or excuse me, birdie on two, birdie on four for Max Homa out of the gate to get to 7-under par. And I'll tell you what's great is he has made, you know, he's not shy about the fact that Tiger Woods is his childhood hero and that he, you know, was so relished the opportunity to play with him at St. Andrews a couple of years ago at the Open Championship. And you know, to be paired with him this week, he's over the moon. But he got a little too much into watching Tiger last time he played with him. And so this time he's just trying to stay and go about his business while appreciating that opportunity. And he's kind of showing off for him right now. You know, this is the best position that Max has been in a major championship. And he's playing really, really well, flawless. He just seems to be unflappable right now. It's not really – the moment doesn't seem to be catching up to him. And he's a very popular player out here amongst the fans. So it'll be interesting to see how this continues to play out.
Do we have kind of any growing idea of what the cut line's going to look like?
I think right now it's probably around plus two, and it could rise a little bit higher. The winds continue to be a problem for the players out on the golf course. Thankfully, the thunderstorms and the rain and everything that was threatening and delayed the start of Thursday's opening round is behind us, but the lingering winds are still swirling, keeping players guessing on which clubs to hit. And, you know, they're just such a small target area for these players into some of these greens that if you guess the wind wrong, it just kind of makes you look silly a little bit, and it can certainly cost you. So these players are having to take a little extra time and then really try to commit to their shots. So outside of that, it is blue skies. It's warming up a little bit out there, a little on the cooler side, probably in the high 60s, but it's supposed to get into the 80s for the weekend and just be absolutely sun-kissed and a beautiful weekend of the Masters.
Finau at 1-under, BT, and of course the cliche, you can't win it on the first day, but you can lose it on the first day. And from that perspective, I'm guessing Tony's probably pretty happy at 1-under.
I talked to him after his round yesterday, and he said he was very happy to get it in red numbers, given the difficulty of the conditions of the day. If you look at Masters history, which is something that's always fun to look at, you know, the biggest comeback after 18 holes to win the Masters is 7 shots. So you start looking at all the players within 7 shots of Bryson DeChambeau after round number one, and that's the evens or better. So Tony was tucked in there nicely and, you know, with a shot, and he's just teed off his second round. So I would think that given his draw, he didn't have to come back out and finish any holes this morning, got it in plenty of time yesterday. In fact, probably had a little bit of the easier weather to begin with and the tougher conditions to finish yesterday, and then was able to get off this afternoon. Like I said, maybe about 10, 15 minutes ago, he's off and running and playing right now. So he actually got a pretty good draw. We'll see how Tony plays out. I'll be out following him for most of the afternoon and looking forward to seeing how he gets around Augusta today.
I know there was some question just about whether Tiger could even walk the course for an entire weekend. How has he looked in that regard? I know he's plus one.
Yeah, so this morning he looked a little bit more labored. You know, it was cold this morning, chilly anyway, and that's probably his worst enemy is the cold. You know, you guys have all, if you had any kind of injury or whatever, when it's cold out, it just seems to be harder to get going. And so that seemed to factor in. He was 2-over on the restart, ended up getting a 1-over for the tournament after the first round. And he's out there playing, you know, most of the time, I would say yesterday and even after those first few holes today, he's actually moving pretty well. Last year, we were standing right there with him as he came up after making the cut in the second round, but happened to withdraw and seeing him and talking to him. And he was, he looked in bad shape, really bad. And he looks remarkably better. He did, you know, admit that he is in pain every single day. So it's not that it's gone away by any means. And in his words, will never go away. That's his life. That's what he has to deal with. But he said he loves it. He still loves the competition, loves to be out there in the middle of it all. And he's excited and is giving everything he's got out there right now.
What's DeChambeau doing right?
Yeah, everything. I mean, he's leading in greens, he's leading in putts, he's leading in birdies. You know, this is such an interesting story because it was only a few years ago that Bryson came out and audaciously said that his par around Augusta National is 67, I think is what the number was, 68, 67, something like that. And, you know, whenever somebody comes out like that against a golf course like Augusta, you just kind of give them the side eye like, okay, Bryson. And he went on and missed the cut 2 years in a row. And so didn't really give him much credibility coming into this week. And yet here he goes and does what he did. And he admitted, you know, he kind of retracted. He ate his words. He said, I shouldn't have said that. He has a healthy respect. And in fact, his comments even suggested that he said, this is a golf course where placement is so important. You can't, so many people think you can just bomb it around here. And that's not the case. And I just chuckled when he said that, because I'm like, you are the one that said that you could do that. And now he's backing off on that. And it seems to have, you know, even in his own words, matured a little bit in his approach to this golf course, his reverence for it, his approach, his conservative. He has gotten a lot more conservative in nature as far as how he approaches this golf course, and it's paying off right now. So, you know, I think Bryson has, you know, maybe learned something that a lot of the big hitters and the greats have learned, is that you've got it in the tank doesn't mean you have to use it on every shot, especially around here.
You mentioned talking to Tony, but what do we have on tap for tomorrow's Masters edition of Real Golf Radio?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of great sound. I thought the chairman's press conference was really good. There's a lot of initiatives that Augusta is behind, and also weighed in on some of the rules changes that have been presented by the USGA and the RNA. So we'll talk about some of those and hear from Chairman Ridley and his comments. We're going to catch up with Tony after his second round, so we'll have first and second round sound from Tony. Of course, America's favorite caddy, always stopping by, and then sound from all those in contention. So, and then, you know, see some of our friends from the media that might stop by as well. It's always a fun show. It's a privilege to be here every year, and appreciate you guys giving us the opportunity to share it with you and your listeners during your show this week.
BT, you're the best, buddy.
You're the
man. We'll be dialed in tomorrow morning. Thank you very much.
Egg salad sandwiches all around. Let's go.
Jealous. Thanks, BT.
See you, boys.
You an egg salad guy?
I like egg salad, but Brian and Bob, during remember the Masters, the pandemic Masters, where they did it later in the year or whatever, and they didn't let people come. And so for the media, like Bob and Brian, they let them order food. So they mailed food to the media. And so they brought in the sandwiches for everybody to try.
Oh, how was it?
Egg salad sandwiches for everybody to try. Amazing.
Yeah, it held up.
I like chicken salad way better than I like chicken salad way better than egg salad, but that egg salad was pretty good.
You a big mustard guy in your egg salad or no?
No. Well, you got to have a little bit, right? But you can't. Mustard as a condiment in general can overpower.
Yeah.
So it can't be too much mustard.
It's got that tartness.
Don't want to.
Mustard guy.
All right. We are live at Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West. Please feel free to drop by and see us, grab some free stuff we've got, but really check out what they've got when it comes to windows and doors. And Ben, we're sitting in the showroom. First of all, the showroom is great, but it's spacious and lovely and clean and just wonderful. But you can see all the variety of stuff that you can do to your house. It's pretty amazing. You think windows and doors, you just think something, you know, simple, and actually it can be something far from simple and more really beneficial to your home from a look standpoint, from a function standpoint, from an energy standpoint. If you're looking to make an investment in your house, it's a great place to start.
Yeah, unbelievable. Like I said, you can change your home without changing homes. If you want to have the dream house that you've always thought about, you can do it with Peach Doors and Windows. You don't have to put your house up for sale and try and find another house with a high interest rate. It's not what you have to do. You can fix your home up, customize it, get exactly what you're looking for, all the while improving your efficiency inside your home as well.
All right, you can go online. It's a great place to start, peachbuildingproducts.com. You can call, schedule a free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. That's 801-566-1255. Or simply drop by their showroom and see us, 2940 South, 300 West, right here in Salt Lake. It's Peach Doors and Windows. We'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's got it better than us?
No!
The best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you, don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. Next week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Blue October at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 24th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. We are live today from Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West in Salt Lake. So drop on by and see us. We've got some goodies for you and find out what Peach can do for you. If now the warm weather is coming, supposed to be 80 degrees today.
And, why did I wear a jacket?
If your air conditioner is going to turn on today and not turn off until October, then maybe you should look into some new windows.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe you're, you know what the real mistake is? Overdoing your AC too much, burning that thing out, because that's going to cost you $15,000 to replace.
It's brutal.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor and do your AC unit a favor and save yourself some cash.
Honestly, you make a great point. You can buy extra years on that. Years on that thing.
15 G's to come in and replace your AC unit. So get that fixed up or, prevent having to fix it.
And heaven knows I ain't going back to a swamp cooler.
Just the window unit.
I spent so much of my youth watching my dad nearly kill himself on the roof trying to maintain the swamp cooler. Up there, yeah.
Loud window unit was my life for a long time.
That's not something that I'm prepared to go back to. I'd rather just maintain my air conditioner and make it energy efficient with some sweet doors and windows, courtesy of Peach. So come on down, 2940 South, 300 West. Did you had a window unit? You ever have a swamp cooler?
The house I grew up in had a swamp cooler
where you turn it on and it is as loud as a jet engine.
Yep.
And blew air out at hurricane force speeds.
And was so cold in that one spot.
In that one spot, it's just like a pole, like Antarctica.
Yep.
And then the rest of the house was lukewarm to hot.
95 degrees inside the house.
But you couldn't.
Let's hope you don't have an upstairs, because that thing's going to be a trillion degrees. But that one spot in the kitchen where the AC unit is, or where the swamp cooler is? Yeah, buddy.
I can't watch TV because it's too loud.
It's colder than the fridge.
So, I'm not going back to that, Ben. I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
I'd rather just maintain my air conditioner.
And you can do that with better doors and windows.
You certainly can, being the point. 2940 South, 300 West, down here at Peach. So come on by and see us.
I'm going to ask you to give me a little bit of insight. I told you I was sitting with my Kentucky friend last night at the Jazz game, and he was a little perturbed. We both started hearing about Mark Pope and Kentucky. I mean, I think a lot of people did early in the season, right? Like when BYU had jumped out,
and was far exceeding expectations. And everyone kind of knew Kentucky was a little up and down, and the Coach Calipari stuff was going to end at some point, whether it was this season or next or whatever. It was going to happen. Like, those connections started to be drawn pretty early. Tim Lacombe is a very well-connected person. You were doing the show with him last night. I'm curious what his reaction was last night, because I was stunned, and you don't seem as surprised as I was.
Oh, no, I'm not stunned. I'm certainly not stunned that that Pope was on the list for BYU. Coach Lacombe definitely wasn't stunned. It was fun hanging out with him last night because he was on the phone the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, he was watching the Jazz game, and he did a great job, as he always does. But
he knows everybody in college basketball. It's crazy.
He does. He's networked with all these coaches, and these coaches, like big-time coaches that you would absolutely know their names, just call him willy-nilly to find out what's up. You know, like,
how's
what's
things?
Going on?
Yep.
Yeah, like, what's happening over there and at BYU and with the Pope situation. He didn't seem very surprised. And he worked with Mark, right? For how many years was Mark an assistant before he left to go to UVU? 3?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that? And Mark wanted this. And by the way, don't take that as a slight against BYU. This is his dream job. I know you hear that a lot when it comes to coaches, and a lot of the time it's just crap, right? You know, Urban Meyer's dream job that he had on his in his contract at Utah, remember that, was Ohio State and Notre Dame. Those are the two schools that he can opt out of his contract for with no buyout or whatever. Well, lo and behold, his dream job, Notre Dame, was available, and he passed to go to Florida. So how much is that your dream job? But Mark Pope's dream job is Kentucky. He went to school there. He was a high-profile player there, despite the fact that Ben thought his playing career was really crappy.
Well, he only played 2 years there. He was a captain, but he was an emotional captain. It's all due respect.
Not a good player.
Not a production captain. But he was an emotional captain.
And, of course, when you go to a blue-blood school like that, I'm sure being the head coach is the dream, right? And so I guess the surprising part is how many coaches had to pass to get to him. But honestly, it wasn't that much. What was it, 3? I don't know if I'm buying the Billy Donovan one.
I have no idea. I've heard too many different things about Billy Donovan.
There's one side that's saying Billy Donovan was never contacted, and there's another side that says Billy passed.
And there's some that's saying he would really take it and really was interested in it because he could get fired with the Bulls. Or maybe he doesn't get fired with the Bulls because the Bulls and Jerry Reinsdorf don't want to spend money on anything, especially paying a coach to go away. So, yeah, maybe he was never going to leave.
I actually think that Pope is a better hire than Billy Donovan would be. If you're looking for my opinion, I know people out there probably don't think that. But I'm stuck in this. College coaching hires are so dumb. Like, you either have to hire the guy who's going to win the press conference, or you have to hire the coach that is winning right now. Seems like there's no, like, nuance to coaching searches. And I this isn't a nuanced hire because he's an alum, and, you know, and he had a good year. But there's a chance that what we were talking about in the last hour, where here's a guy with a modern take on college basketball, could really be an innovative hire for Kentucky, even though you're not, you know, quote unquote, winning the press conference. I mean, would Rick Pitino have won the press conference for Kentucky? Probably. I don't think he's the right coach for that job at the moment. Right. Scott Drew has a formula figured out how to win at Baylor. Who's to say that would win at Kentucky? I don't know. It seems like a layup. Like, oh, he's a national championship coach. He's really good. Well, yeah, but there's risk to that. Who did they hire before Cal? He was the hot coach, and he landed 2 years. Gillespie? 3 years at Kentucky? I mean, like, I think Pope, just because he hasn't won an NCAA tournament game, I don't think that should be a disqualifier.
Okay.
He hasn't won one game, so that's the – listen, he wasn't going to win one with UVU. John Wooden isn't going to win one with UVU, so you might as well scratch that off. It doesn't count. And let alone, he was great at UVU.
But that
didn't result in an NCAA tournament win. Well, duh.
Right. Who does? Who wins?
And by the way, BYU wins one, if not two, NCAA tournament games if the pandemic doesn't get in the way in 2020. So there's another thing. That was Pope's best team. Was that team maybe this year? I mean, you could make an argument, certainly. But that 2020 team was really good and didn't get an opportunity to win. And then in the West Coast Conference, the seeds you get going into the tournament are so bad anyway. It's so hard to win a team unless you're Gonzaga in a game, unless you're Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament. So it's like I've seen all these pundits go, he hasn't even won an NCAA tournament game. Well, duh, in life, things are a little more nuanced than that. I mean, imagine if you hired the, I don't know. Well, look at where did Youngstown, Utah State, mm-hmm. hired the Youngstown Calhoun. Coach. I mean, it's almost as silly to make the argument about Pope in the NCAA tournament as it would be, well, has he won an NCAA tournament game? Well, he was at Youngstown, so no.
Let me play devil's advocate. This is the worst coach Kentucky has hired in my lifetime. As far as
define
resume.
Worse.
As far as resume. Has the worst resume by far. Right? Like Tubby Smith, Gillespie, Calipari. Like Calipari had already been to the Final Four with Memphis, right? Like all these things. What Kentucky views itself as and who they feel like they should be able to hire does not fall in line with Mark Pope's resume at all. Now, you and I in the first hour talked about why Mark Pope is going to succeed. He's going to get the NIL money. I think he runs pro stuff. I think he's going to get guys that come in and play the way he wants to play. I think he's going to be an upgrade on the floor over Coach Calipari if he's not in the living room of the parents that get the kid to commit to his school. There's a lot of reasons why he can succeed. But he is the worst coach Kentucky has hired in our lifetime. And there's an argument he was the second best coach in the state of Utah last year. Right? Danny Sprinkle did win an NCAA tournament game, did have fewer returning players, did have a worse roster, we thought.
Right.
And then won. And took that Washington job. But, like, so there are things out there that are not glowing endorsements of Mark Pope. And also, BYU should have beat Duquesne. They were a better team than Duquesne. They did not show up for that game. They were not prepared.
Right.
And the things that he did were a little gimmicky. Now, the nice thing about Mark Pope, gimmicky being that they were so reliant on the three-point shot, which is not the fad in college basketball, when you can get players who consistently shoot 40% from the three-point line, which you can recruit to Kentucky and you cannot recruit to BYU as easily. Look at Reed Sheppard. Look at what Dillingham did this year. They both shot over 40% from the three-point line. You can get those types of kids at Kentucky, and if they hit shots consistently, your variance on those types of games and that style of play is far lower than it will ever be at BYU, because not every guy at BYU shoots 40%, and more kids at Kentucky will. So more shots are going to go in running his style, which honestly just means you're going to go farther in the tournament. It's silly. I hate to say it's that way, but that is kind of what he has going for him. And I actually do think there's a chance. No, I don't want to say a chance. That sounds like I'm doubting him. I do think he's going to succeed at Kentucky. I think he's going to do well. But I understand the consternation.
A brainless moron could win two games in the tournament at Kentucky. A extremely great coach could coach at BYU and not win a tournament game.
That's
why the bar is ridiculous. Stu Morrill did win a tournament game at Utah State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that before Stu? Either way. But Stu Morrill could go through his entire run at Utah State and not win a tournament game and be a way better coach than whatever moron they hire at Kentucky who gets to the Sweet 16 automatically because he has the best team on the floor, eyes closed, and they get seeds where they're playing against to steal that, what's his name? The Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah.
The guy who's at West Virginia now, who's from Vernal. What's his name? The old Ohio State president.
Gee.
Gordon Gee.
Mr. Bowtie, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't like that bar. I get what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I just think that's a silly argument.
Well, and, your prior resume being what's going to make you successful is not a good indicator. In all honesty, it's not. I wish it was. Every coaching hire is a guess, it feels like. There are better coaching hires and worse coaching hires, but everyone's a guess. And this could work out great, and this one could work out really poorly.
I get Kentucky maybe saying, like, okay, we're not going to hire somebody without head coaching experience because we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, BYU is going to hire a coach without head coaching experience because they have to. And it may work out, it may not, but that's their lot, right? Kentucky doesn't have to hire somebody with zero experience. But they hired a guy whose head coaching experience is really good.
And you know what? Credit to Mark Pope for keeping a spotless record. Not on the court, but off the court. Because the number of guys who could have easily been in line for this job, who were disqualified for this job before because they didn't want to hire somebody who had huge red flags recruiting, which Coach Calipari had before he took the Kentucky job while he was at Memphis, and the Derrick Rose having somebody else take his SATs for him, et cetera, et cetera.
not being Bruce Pearl, not being Rick Pitino, like all of these guys who have these issues behind them. Who was it LSU?
Will Wade.
Wade. Like these names that should be in the running for this Kentucky job. Good for Mark Pope for doing it at least the perceived right way.
I wouldn't have let those issues scare me off, those guys, by the way, because now everything's legal. So why would I care?
I know, and I still think they did. I still think there was a big part of that.
Okay. But if I thought Bruce Pearl was the guy, I wouldn't.
It sounds like they didn't even interview Bruce Pearl.
No, I wouldn't let that stand in my way because Bruce Pearl has built successful programs and Will Wade is winning at McNeese State.
Yep.
But I'm not saying those guys would be the guy. I'm just saying if I were making a head coaching hire, I wouldn't let those things scare me off anymore because it doesn't really matter.
Now, enough about the Kentucky side of it, which might be missing the point. This is a huge blow to BYU. Mark Pope's a great coach. I mean, good enough to get the Kentucky job. It's an enormous blow to BYU.
They can find somebody else who'll do a good job, but the hard part is their coaching pool is just so limited. And I know we asked Mitch about, you know, whether it's a requirement to hire an LDS coach, and it's not. They have a non-LDS cross-country coach at the moment. They kind of broke that seal a couple of years ago, which I don't think they should eliminate non-LDS
members.
Members from the pool. But you have to be as specific. I mean, the way Mitch laid it out was pretty good. I mean, there are unique things at BYU you have to deal with, and it helps from a perspective standpoint to come from that background. So I do think that they will hire an LDS coach.
I think so, too.
And that pool is small. And with Madsen passing, I don't know if Madsen was automatically the guy, although he is the one with head coaching experience. Burgess is a great recruiter. From Utah, and I know a lot of people in the local media are kind of pulling for him, I think, because he's been here and he's been around since he was a teenager, and if you've ever interacted with him, he's a good dude, and I think he has a really good track record as an assistant coach. But, I mean, Peary, do you know much about him?
No.
Barrett Peary, that's the other guy from UNLV that is high on the list. There's the assistant Young, what's his first name, who's the assistant with the Phoenix Suns, who people are talking about, and then there's an assistant for the Houston Cougars. But none of these coaches have head coaching experience.
The Suns assistant might be their next head coach because they may have to fire Frank Vogel because he's so bad and has been rumored as being a potential. I think the Jazz interviewed him, actually, before they hired Will Hardy.
So that might be a long shot.
I think that's an NBA guy. I think Alex Jensen wants to be an NBA guy.
I don't think Alex Jensen.
Was it Feger is the other guy that's gotten talked about?
And he's not LDS, so
yeah.
I don't know if he's – and I think he likely goes with Pope to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And maybe as far as his head coaching prospects go, you feel like you can have a better bite at the apple if you're an assistant at Kentucky.
And have success?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And find a good spot. The reason I'd probably lean toward Burgess, and granted this opinion isn't all that fair because I don't know that much about the other candidates, but I know that Burgess can recruit.
And knows Utah.
And recruits Utah, I mean, is really, really good. So, you know, I think college basketball is less about high school recruiting than it used to be. But I think at BYU it's key that you get a coach that's going to get the players there and not miss out on high-profile LDS guys. Like Brody Kozlowski should be going to BYU.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know Brody now is thinking about where to go, and we'll see where he ends up. But there's no way that you should let an in-state prospect like that, whose mom works for BYU.
Yeah. It's a BYU family.
It's a BYU family.
Legacy through and through.
No way that guy should be going anywhere else. And that's just the example I'm plucking because I like Kristen. She's great. And she's been fun to do those Jazz games with. Anyway, there's no way that he shouldn't be going to BYU. You got to find a coach that makes sure that those don't slip through the cracks. And then Burgess will probably, I would guess, take what Pope has done at BYU and kind of build off it, considering he was part of what Pope built at BYU. So from a consistency standpoint and a recruiting standpoint, that seems like a pretty good option to me.
It's tough, though. This is such a bad timing for this hire. You are so far – it's crazy as it sounds. Like, you're already kind of late in the transfer portal because now you've got a new coach having to go in and introduce himself and an idea for a program where, you know, this has been going on for a couple of weeks now and all these coaches have made their bids and literally gotten their NIL deals, their bids lined up. So, you know, Colin Chandler's going to come back from his mission and say, oh, I've got an $800,000 offer to go to Kentucky. Like, of course he's going to go. You know, and I hope he stays at BYU. I'd love to see him locally. But a top 30 kid –
with the coach going to Kentucky, is going to go to Kentucky. That's what you do if you want to play in the NBA.
You're not wrong, but there's not anything you can do about that at the moment.
No, you're not. I mean, that's no, your hands are tied. Yeah, unfortunately, right. BYU's hands are tied. This is a terrible timing for BYU.
Yeah,
that's what stinks.
And
this is a terrible timing.
It'll affect next year.
And the Big 12's not getting worse. I know Texas and Oklahoma are bouncing. Well, Arizona's coming in. It's going to be brutal.
Yeah, and Danny Sprinkle got hired late and had to replace the whole team and did it. So, I mean, yeah.
There are exceptions, and Danny Sprinkle did a great job.
Well,
I'm just saying, Mark Pope.
The urgency is, like, honestly, if they think that Burgess, for example, is their guy, well, then make it happen. But don't create this urgency that it's more important to get the right fit than it is to hire
next
today.
Season.
Than hire today. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, like, next season doesn't matter at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's no, get the right guy.
Get the right. That's
right.
Way
get
more
the right
important.
Guy.
So, like, if you know that again, using Burgess as an example, if you know he's the right guy, well, then do it and don't waste any time. And I'm pretty confident he would take it if you offered it to him. But if you have some doubts, do some interviews. Take a few days.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, but the transfer portal's almost blah. And it's like, it's way more important. What do you want to hire quick so they can scramble that may or may not get some transfers, or you want to hire the right guy? So,
like, you'd rather have the best sophomore than the best rookie, and that applies to coaches as well, right? You want your third-year player to be the best player in the NBA, not the first-year player. Have the best coach in his third year, not the best coach in his first year. Third year means he's done something right to stick around, and then he's really good.
Have you ever done that where you create urgency for a decision or something like that where it's totally unnecessary?
Constantly.
Like, why was I so pressed to make that decision?
Nonstop.
I created all of that myself. You don't create something that's unnecessary. And by the way, you're probably going to be stealing a coach from somebody who then has to scramble to find their coach.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a chase.
This is all still fallout from Andy Enfield being fired basically by LeBron.
Isn't that amazing?
And taking the SMU job.
Well, it's the SMU coach leaving, right? I mean, that's where this whole thing started. What a nightmare.
It's great. It's how it works. And it trickles on down, and usually it ends up in the Big Sky somewhere or something like that, you know, when it's all said and done.
Yep.
So we'll see where BYU goes. I'd be really tempted to broaden my interviewing pool and see. You know, if Feeker's a guy and he's not LDS, well, give him a fair shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, we'll get to more coming up next. We're live from Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South. 300 West here in Salt Lake. Come by and see us. We'd love to see you, but if you don't have a chance to come by during the show, in the market for windows and doors, do yourself a favor. This showroom is awesome, and the good folks at Peach can show you exactly what they can do for you, and that's really a big thing for them. They can do custom projects, no project too big, no project too small. If you can dream it, they can do it. You know, we talk about that stuff all the time, Ben, but it really is true. And if you come down here to the showroom, you really can get your hands on it, so to speak.
No,
you can see what they can do.
A couple customers come in. They were trying out all the doors. How does it feel opening it? How do the sliders work? What do the locks look like? How is that going to look in your home? Yeah, so many different options that you've never seen. You're never going to find them when you go into a big box store. And then if it doesn't quite fit your house here, they can customize it so it does fit your house.
I had no clue how noisy and difficult to move my sliding door was until I came down here and watch Cindy move a sliding door, like, with her pinky.
Yeah, you may not realize
and
how bad it's gotten.
Whisper quiet. I was like, who knew I had the loudest sliding door in the world, and I have to sit there and yank on it? You don't need to do that anymore. They can get you set up, and like I said, maybe it's a huge project where you want one of those big window doors to bring the outside in, or maybe it's you just want some more energy-efficient doors and windows. They can do it all for you. Give them a call, 801-566-1255. Schedule a free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. You can go to peachbuildingproducts.com or simply drop by their showroom, 2940 South, 300 West, right here in Salt Lake. It's Peach Doors and Windows. We'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5. The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, want to remind you to join Ethan Millard and Teton Wealth. They're going to be live in studio with Hans and Scotty on Monday to help you with your retirement plan. Tune in or visit retireteton.com. Ben, the Nuggets should start losing on purpose.
You think so?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I'd rather play Sacramento or Phoenix than Golden State or the Lakers.
Yeah, there's an interesting – I mean, the last three teams in the Western Conference, you have the standings pulled up right now.
I do.
What is it, the Kings, the Lakers, and the Warriors are all tied.
All tied.
With heading into the final two games of the regular season. I don't know if everybody in the NBA plays tonight. Nobody plays tomorrow. I think everybody might play tonight and play Sunday as well. They've got those two different windows. They're not making anyone play the second day of a back-to-back because they're doing midday games on Sunday. So it's all Masters tomorrow. No NBA basketball. I've been trying to track this and figure out like how it's going to work because I'm with you. You know, teams try and game. Your matchup matters more than your seeding, ultimately, in the NBA. I don't know how it's going to work. It's going to depend on what happens tonight. And then after what happens tonight, it's going to set up a whole interesting scenario of what happens on Sunday. I mean, I've been kind of operating under the sense that, oh, well, the Warriors aren't going to be playing anybody. They still have a chance to get eighth. They still have a chance, if the Nuggets finish with the one seed, to avoid the Nuggets. And if I'm the Warriors, like, I don't want to play Jokic. I would rather play Oklahoma City or Minnesota in the first round. So, like, there's a real chance they're still playing all their guys on Sunday.
Well, and you're getting to another thing. If Denver slips to two, yeah, maybe they play Golden State in the first round, but maybe they play Sacramento or Phoenix. But who do they play in the second round?
Yeah.
Not Dallas or the Clippers.
Yeah, right. You're not in that.
I don't want Dallas or the Clippers. Absolutely
I definitely don't
not.
Want Dallas, yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. So that 2-3-5-6 or 2-3-6-7 spot in the West, that side of the bracket, is pretty advantageous, especially if Denver's at the one. Because yeah. You're right, 4-5's already locked in.
But if I'm Denver, I'm dumping games. Now, their last two games are going to be really tough to dump. They play tonight against San Antonio in San Antonio, and then they finish up the season Sunday at Memphis. So I mean, they'd have to lose on purpose.
What's the standings at the top of the West? What separates?
They've got we're one game in front of Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
So the problem is, yeah, like you don't want to accidentally open your playoff series in the second round on the road at Minnesota. That's the other problem. Like I understand jumping to two.
I'd rather have Minnesota than the Clippers or the Mavericks.
Sure, but you might be opening on the road and like.
Yeah, whatever.
Minnesota's given Denver some trouble because they're equally big. Now, I don't think anyone's going to beat Denver. I just don't think anyone's going to beat Denver in the Western Conference playoffs. But, yeah, this is the dream scenario for Adam Silver and a bit of a nightmare for everyone trying to figure out what their teams are supposed to look like. But you almost don't have the ability to tank games because you can't control what the other six teams around you are doing.
Oh, they're going to tank games. If I'm Denver, I'd rather be in third.
It's possible, and maybe they do that. Yeah, maybe they mail it in.
I'd rather have the Pelicans, the wounded Pelicans.
Yes, I think so too. Then the Lakers, probably.
Or the Warriors.
Or the Warriors. Yeah, you're probably right. I would rather play the Kings or the Suns or the Pelicans, whichever one of those teams ends up there, than I would playing the Warriors or the Lakers.
Let Minnesota lose to LeBron in the first round, or let...
OKC. OKC's been terrible against the Lakers this year. They can't handle their size. OKC's really small, so they can't handle how big that team is.
Right. So if I'm Denver, I lose these two games on purpose.
That'd be interesting. And they can. They can just rest everybody and say, we want Jokic healthy. We want Jamal healthy. We want Aaron Gordon healthy. That's what matters to us. And it helps that the 2-3 seed is pretty advantageous as opposed to, yeah, the Lakers. But the problem is the Lakers or the Warriors could still jump up to one because I don't trust the Kings to win any games.
Who do the Kings have left? Hang on.
The Kings just got crushed by the Pelicans last night in a must-win game. They've got two, I want to say, reasonably winnable games.
Hang on. Hold the phone, Ben. Phoenix tonight at home and Portland on Sunday at home.
Phoenix is dying to win because Phoenix is in the play-in tournament currently and wants to get to the sixth seed. So they're going to be playing out of their minds. And you've got the Kings on the second night of a back-to-back, so that's going to be advantageous for Phoenix. And then...
Yeah, but the Suns suck.
Yeah, the Suns are not good. Yeah, the Suns are broken. They've been a little bit better in this 10-game stretch that's so brutal than I had expected. And still, they're just... I had my Phoenix Suns fan, who's always in my DMs, that was always mad at me for making fun of the Suns, asking me what happened to his team last night. So he's had a mea culpa and wanted a counseling session, which I was unfortunately not able to provide, nor would I. But, yeah, it's a mess. the whole thing. And the Eastern Conference is equally crazy. Outside of the Celtics being 15 games better than everybody, like, Orlando is in the fifth seed. They could finish as high as second still, I believe, or they could drop to eighth. And that's just 3 days left in the regular season. There's 2 days left in the regular season as far as games
they're
go.
They're three back of the Bucks, so I
doubt, they can't catch them then. They're two games back. They can't catch them.
They're two games back of the Knicks for the third spot. They're one game back of Cleveland for the four. But they're tied with Indiana for the 5-6. They've got the tiebreaker, obviously. And those two teams are only one game in front of Philly and only two games in front of Miami.
Boston's riding pretty. This is the perfect scenario for Boston.
And they were playing their guys yesterday.
Yeah, they were. It was weird. But they're going to face either the Bulls or the Hawks in the first round.
Who cares?
Well, maybe not. Maybe they end up facing, like, Miami or Philly, which would be tough. Whichever one of those teams.
No, no, no. It's the Bulls or the Hawks.
No, whichever team loses Miami and Philly has to play that next round.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So there's still a chance they play either Philly or Miami, which is tough. But then in the second round right now, if things go according to plan, they'll play either the Cavs or the Magic, and they will beat them. They'll win a seven-game series in three games. They're going to beat them so bad, it's not even going to go to four. So Boston is almost, barring real devastating opening round against Philly or Miami, which is, by the way, one of the worst situations they could find themselves in, probably has already punched their ticket to the conference finals. And everybody else in the West, East is just going to chew each other up.
Quick side note, by the way. Man, the Jazz were right to move off of Donovan. Have you seen there's already a report that they're going to trade him in the offseason?
Yep.
That's already out there. They haven't even gotten to the playoffs. There was that was preceded by a report that said the only way Donovan signs an extension if they make it to the finals.
And look, let's get Donovan Mitchell's contract out of the conversation. Like, let's take that away. You know what the problem is with Donovan? It's always been the same problem. It has nothing to do with money.
He's not good enough to play the way he
does. He's a 6-foot-1 guard who can't carry a team by himself. He's awesome. Donovan is awesome. He's a great, great player. The best thing that Donovan Mitchell could do is get traded to the San Antonio Spurs this offseason and go be Victor's number two for the rest of his career. You want to make the Hall of Fame? You want to win a title? Go do that, Donovan. But trying to be the face of a team that doesn't have financial flexibility and bet everything on Evan Mobley becoming a superstar and he just isn't is a whiff. It's a huge whiff for Cleveland and for Donovan. I know he didn't pick the Cavaliers. The Jazz picked that for him. But the best thing Donovan could do is go join a contender somewhere else and be the number two if he's willing to give up on that dream of being the number one guy.
Oh, man. If I were him, I'd take the Bradley Beal approach.
You want the gold jacket. You want the
I'd go to Washington.
Fame, averaging 30 points a game.
I'd score 35 a game, and I'd sign a Supermax.
Averaging more points than wins on the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just say, hey, I made five All-NBA teams and seven straight All-Star games.
Because he's not good enough to play the way that he does on a contending team. So I'd go to a team where I can play the way that I do that don't care about winning and are just happy that somebody wants to be there.
He bounced back in their last game in a game that they absolutely had to win. Now, they were playing the G League Memphis Grizzlies, who doesn't have any NBA players on it at the moment, it doesn't seem like, when I watch them. But his previous, let me see, we'll pull this up. What does this look like? Nine games, because he's hurt. Remember, he had the PRP treatment in his knee. He broke his nose also. His previous nine games before his last outing, 17 points a game, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 38% from the floor, 38% from three. That's the problem. Like, by the end of the season, if he's carrying this huge load, it's already wearing on his body, and it's probably only going to get worse.
Real quick here, Josh. And I always appreciate interaction, even when they don't agree with me. But Josh tweets in and says, champs don't hide from anyone. They are champs for a reason. Home court is still everything. Actually, home court is not everything. And the reason that everybody thinks home court is everything is because that's what they've grown up being told. Because that's what's been given the regular season meaning for years. And nobody wants to admit that it's basically meaningless. But if you think to yourself, just critically think for a second, Josh. Think how many NBA playoff series actually go to a game seven?
Less than more. The minority.
Oh, I bet it's like 10%. So even home court advantage matters a little bit because you'd rather play that game seven at home, sure. But that's a very rare circumstance and no guarantee that you win that game seven. In fact, and I've said this many times, the Jazz have been in very few playoff game sevens in their entire franchise history, Ben, and they've won more on the road than they have at home.
I believe in the advantage of having your first two games at home because I think there's a psychological advantage if you take a 2-0 lead. I think that's where I believe in home court advantage, actually more than the 7.
But now you're in something fluffy and not concrete.
Absolutely. And then let me ask you this. How many game 7s did Denver play last year in the playoffs?
Zero.
Zero.
None.
They lost 2 games to Phoenix in the 2nd round. They lost 1 game to Minnesota in overtime in the 1st round, and they swept the Lakers, and I think it was 5 games against Miami. They did lose 1 game in Denver, actually.
LeBron's title with Cleveland, they won in Game 7 of the NBA Finals, Ben. And remind me where that was played?
Golden State.
Sure was.
Yeah. One of the greatest games ever played.
So the whole regular season comes down to a situation that is – what you're playing for is something that is extremely rare and far from a given. That's the whole incentive. Matchups are way more important than home court advantage. So not to disagree with you, Josh.
But we're disagreeing with
you. But I disagree with
you. Yeah, Josh, or Jake certainly is.
I'd way rather play a team that is more advantageous for my team matchup-wise. A la, you mentioned that Oklahoma City doesn't match up well against the Lakers because of the size. That has way more meaning to who wins and loses a series than if a Game 7 happens where it's played.
Well, and you know what is more advantageous even than that? And look at, Boston's a good example of it this year. I mean, maybe the best example. It's crazy. But Denver will have it next year or this offseason, hopefully, especially if they do rest their players over the next 2 games. Just be healthy.
Oh, that matters more than matchups.
Be healthy. Boston hasn't had a major injury to Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Kristaps Porzingis. By the way, Kristaps is always hurt. Hasn't gotten hurt this year. Knock on wood. Hope he doesn't. Jrue Holiday's played a bunch of games. They're 15 games better than everybody because they've played every game. All of their guys are available. Like you said, they played last night. They still have healthy bodies that they can say, it's not even a question if they're going to play. But Giannis is hurt. Donovan's hurt. Joel's been hurt. Jimmy Butler's been hurt. All the teams in the East have been beat up this year outside of Boston.
By the way, friend of the station, John Gambadoro from Arizona, columnist, radio host down there, is saying this came out a few minutes ago. I continue to hear April 18th. That's the day Gary Bettman will make the announcement on the Coyotes being sold to Ryan Smith and the team moving to Salt Lake City. All indications are this is the only option, and all the wheels are in motion for the purchase and transfer of assets.
Well, next week, Thursday.
So Gambo is here in the 18th.
Jazz fans, Utah fans, sports fans, show up. Show up. Go to the announcement, however they're going to do this. Line up the doors. If they're going to be at the Delta Center when they announce this, wherever it is, go out. You want to be the center of sports in the world. You want to have the Olympics. You want Jazz players to feel like this is a place where they can live and thrive. You want athletes to come and want to live in Utah. You want good college players to come and live in Utah. Show up. Go support these teams. Go support the announcement. Be there. I'm not telling you to spend your money. I'm saying go to the announcement. Be there. Have your parade. You want a championship parade? Start with a parade at the announcement that you've got a team, because this is what we've been waiting for forever, and it's happening. Show up.
All right, we're going to wrap up the week. Coming up next, stay tuned. Live from Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West, it's the Jake and Ben Show, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Yeah, what a great way to finish up the week. I've seen Mavis Staples multiple times.
Yeah?
Randomly, Ben. And she is terrific. Still, she's got to be, she's got to be in her 70s, right?
130 years old? 80s.
And,
this ain't Provo anymore, amazing. Jake. This ain't Provo anymore. Mark Pope's press conference for Kentucky is set for 4:30 Eastern on Sunday. Yeah, that's going to be new.
On Sunday.
Sundays are going to be new for Mark Pope. He's busy now.
Yeah, that's not a...
It's not a BYU
that's
thing.
Not off the, it's not off the table anymore.
Yeah.
Good for Pope. I think it stinks that he's getting such a negative reaction from the Kentucky fans.
Nowhere to go but up. And the nice thing actually about that is the expectations are going to be so low that he can exceed them.
True.
As long as he gets the support, which is key in college sports. Now, what? It's not like Kentucky fans aren't going to show up. Like, they're going to be there. You know, they're thousands and thousands strong. They are going to be there. They're going to show up, and they're going to want success. And that's the issue. There's not going to be a lot of patience, but the success and the backing will be there.
That's why schools like Tennessee that ended up backing out on their coaching higher because of fan pressure is so silly. Because where are those fans going to go?
Yeah. But also, you know what? And this is the biggest issue. Worst case scenario, he has $27 million in the bank coming. Right? Like, I hate to be crass about it, but he knows the risk.
Well, I'm not worried about Mark personally. It's more...
Yeah, right. But we talk about this. Like, oh, what if he doesn't succeed? Is this the right job for him? You know what's right for him? $30 million over the next 5 years.
He would be fine personally on whatever he's making at BYU.
Right.
More, I guess, worried about his coaching career?
Yeah. You know what?
I'm actually not worried about anything, but that's what we're talking about.
He gets fired at 2 years at Kentucky. You know who'd be interested in him? BYU.
Probably BYU.
BYU would bring him right back.
Why
in
not?
A heartbeat.
If the next person doesn't work. Yeah.
If the next guy doesn't work, if they're both on similar schedules, hiring their next coach at Kentucky and BYU, I'm going to tell you right now that Mark Pope's the front runner for BYU's next head coach after this one.
Randomly retread college hires like back in the same school rarely works. That was something that we looked into when Gary took the Utah State job again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you actually can't find that many examples of coaches that go back to places they had success in duplicating that. Mac Brown did it recently with North Carolina.
Yep.
But it's actually
done a heck of a job.
It's actually not that common. It happens more than you'd think, and it usually doesn't end well.
It's a good interim. It's a good until we find the next guy, just to stabilize the ship and kind of get fans reengaged. But, yeah. Not a long-term solution.
You know, the funny thing is, and we were talking about this off the air, right place, right time means so much in sports. And people just don't consider that at all.
Well, we don't want to think it's mostly luck. And
it is. You're in the right place, right time.
Yep.
I mean, even what's the famous Frank Layden line about Karl Malone? Like, if we knew he was going to be that good, we would have taken him first.
Yeah. Mark Daynault said it the other day about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's like, oh, we didn't know that's who we were trading for. Like, yeah, Mark Daynault could have taken credit for everything Shai did. He's like, oh, yeah, he was a good player when he got here. He's not this good. Like, this was luck. We accidentally got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
New York and Charlotte both passed on Donovan Mitchell. Both were prepared to draft Donovan Mitchell, and because of meddlesome owners, both ended up passing on Donovan Mitchell. Actually, I think New York's was the GM. Because Hornacek was the coach at the time, but Phil Jackson didn't like Donovan, so they passed on that. And then the Hornets were set to take Donovan.
But MJ liked the Kentucky kid.
Michael Jordan liked Malik Monk. Hey, we're drafting Malik Monk. And lo and behold, that pick falls to Denver. The Jazz are able to make a trade, and they get Donovan Mitchell. Blind luck.
Which, by the way, for all the Jazz fans wanting the team to win the lottery, which, by the way, is the definition of luck, or make the big trade for the superstar, you know how they're going to get the next face of their franchise? They're going to luck into drafting him at 8.
Yeah.
They're going to luck into drafting him at 13 or 30. Like, odds are that's what's going to happen.
Or Giannis wants a change of scenery.
It's going to be luck.
Or gets in a fight with the GM or something. Or,
yep.
You know, some sort of opportunity will present itself. And you can call it luck or you can call it be ready to pounce on that opportunity.
Yep.
Like, if you're Houston back in the day, be prepared to make a trade when James Harden becomes available.
Yep, and they were.
And even that didn't work out, but you get my point. All right, we want to say a big thanks to the group here at Peach. They are absolutely wonderful. They're so great to have the show. We enjoy coming down here, 2940 South, 300 West, and we really appreciate what great care they take of the Jake and Ben Show listeners. So if you're in the market, you've been thinking about it, ways to improve your house, start with windows and doors.
It's the best place to do it.
And come down to Peach, and they're going to help you. Even if, you know, they're great with ideas. They have engineers on staff. I mean, they can help you get what you want. So come on by or drop by their showroom and see them. It's easy. Again, 2940 South, 300 West. Or you can always go to peachbuildingproducts.com. They've got a great website. Or just simply call them. 801-566-1255. They will answer. They have great customer service. You can schedule a free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Hanson, Scotty G coming up next.
Thanks, Tyler.
We will talk to you next week on the Jake and Ben Show, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop.
Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.